In Ephesians chapter 1, and starting at verse 3, would you read it with me? It says, "Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved." There's a few things here about being predestined. He's saying here, listen, you've been predestined to be blessed or a spiritual blessing. You've been predestined to be holy. You've been predestined to become his children. In verse 7, it says, "In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, which he made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself, that in a dispensation in the fullness of times he might gather together in all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth in him. In him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, that we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of his glory. In him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory." Again, I want to share with you, there are certain things about being predestined. And these are a part of your destiny. You're to be predestined with every spiritual blessing. You're to be seated in heavenly places, aren't you? Amen, with Christ. You're to be holy, become children of the Most High God. You are predestined to be redeemed. You are predestined that forgiveness is available to you every time you blow it. Amen. You're predestined to know his will and have an eternal and present inheritance. You are predestined for these things. Why? Because it's his good pleasure. It wasn't anything that you chose, anything that you did not have a part of. It was something that God had predestined for each individual who comes to him. Actually, all of these things are predestined for every human being created on earth. The problem is not everybody's cooperating with him, so they're not under the they're not walking in the predestined purpose that God had prepared for them before the world was created. The world being created means all natural things, all matter. In other words, you were called and predestined before the heavens were created. Before everything was created, you were already called and predestined. And there's a place where unlocking your destiny is a part of your cooperation. Is everybody with me? Oh, hallelujah. Now turn to Romans 8. Romans chapter 8. Is everybody okay? Romans chapter 8. Thank you, Master. Hallelujah. And verse 14. Romans 8 and 14. Unlocking, everybody say, unlocking my destiny. "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God." Now you've been predestined to be a son of God or a child of God. "For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father." Abba means daddy. There is a relationship there. "The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified with him." So according to this we're seeing that there is going to be resistance in fulfilling your destiny. Does everybody understand that? There is going to be resistance because there's parts of suffering, isn't there? There's resistance. The enemy is always going to resist. And let me tell you something. You cannot unlock or fulfill your destiny without the Holy Spirit. It just doesn't happen. Why? Because He's the one that guides you to all truth. He's the Spirit of grace. He's the anointing and the presence of God. You cannot do it without the Holy Spirit. I don't care how much religiosity you have. I don't care how much knowledge you have. Without relationship, there is nothing. Absolutely nothing but pure, adulterated religion. And God hates religion. Because it brings people in bondage. He calls them hypocrites. Amen. People like to tell everybody what to do, but they can't do it themselves. Oh, hallelujah. They love to beat people up with the Word of God, but they can't walk it. They tell everybody how much they know Jesus, but they can't worship Him. Hallelujah. That man that walked in there today should have got on his face and began to worship the Lord. Hello? Because the presence of God is here. When you get in God's presence, man, you just start worshiping God. You can't help it. Hallelujah. Person that knows the Lord and walks in relationship knows how to honor God, knows how to honor His presence. Be reverent to it. Oh, hallelujah. Go to verse 28. Would you read it with me? And we know that all things work together for the good to those who love God and to those who are called according to His purpose. Are you called according to His purpose? Well, then all things are going to work to the good, aren't they? That means all your blunders are going to work to the good. Thank God for His mercy. For whom He foreknew, He also what? Predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. So your destiny is to be conformed into the likeness of Jesus. That's what it's all about. Moreover, whom He predestined, these He also called. Whom He called, these He also justified. And whom He justified, these He also glorified. These He also glorified. To God be the glory. So we know here now that you and I are predestined to be conformed in the likeness and the image of His Son. In other words, that's with His character and authority. Character and authority. Listen, destiny is why we are here and where we are going. Amen? We will not experience a life of meaning and fulfillment until we are connected to our destiny. Does everybody understand that? Until we are connected to our destiny. I'll repeat this again. Our destiny is why we are here and where we are going. We will not experience a life of meaning and fulfillment until we are connected to our destiny. Go to Genesis 1. Unlocking your destiny. See, you can lock your destiny right up by not cooperating with God. It locks your destiny up. In fact, by not cooperating with God, you tie God's hands, and people wonder why all kinds of things happen to them. Because they tie the hands of God. Amen? So by tying the hands of God, you lock your destiny. Because if God's not in it, then your destiny isn't being fulfilled. Your destiny was preordained by God, not by man, not by your parents. Hello? Not by anybody but God. Let me share something with you. I got a quick little story. pray, you're going, hallelujah. Glory. There was a young lady that her family called. And she was chasing her mother around the house with a knife trying to kill her. So the parents didn't know what to do. They were involved in a church and they didn't know what to do. So she called us and my wife went over there and she was a young child, about 18. Hallelujah. And maybe 17, I don't know. Anyways, my wife brought her to a service and prayed and so forth, cast devils out and whatever. So she started coming around and she was actually basically became one of our spiritual children. And she basically almost lived with us for a little period of time. And her parents were amazed at the change in her. And of course it wasn't anything we did, it was all what God did. So she basically spent almost a whole summer with us. And she had graduated from high school. In fact, during the period of time, they were talking about expelling her from high school because she was so bad. She wasn't going to finish or anything. And she had scholarship for college and all kinds of stuff. Anyways, after God delivered her and healed her, she went back to school, finished it, ended up spending the summer with us. Well, the summer was ending and Mom and Dad were pressing that she fulfill her scholarship. But she got a word from the Lord one day as we were worshiping the Lord. Told her that she wasn't to go to college, that God had another plan for her. She tried to express this to her family being religious, wanting the success for their daughter, which everyone does. Everyone wants their children to be successful and so forth, and there's nothing wrong with that. But you can't be successful in spirit without fulfilling the destiny. You know, there are many rich, wealthy people, and they're not fulfilled. In fact, you know what they do? They worry about losing what they got. What a life. That's all. Their fulfillment is go out to spend $2 or $3 million or $20 million on a yacht, go out and make more money, and go out and do other things, you know. And they give, they're worth billions of dollars, and they give a few $100,000 to the kingdom or whatever. Or charity, UNICEF, or some demonic charity. But anyways, so we encouraged her, you know, and she came back, you know, after she had gone home, and she was confused. Now, God is not the God of confusion. And now let me tell you something. This little girl, she was a short little girl, during the summer, she was getting so many powerful revelations. She was discerning the spirits. This kid cast out more devils out of the summer than it was incredible, out of people. Because she knew. People were coming to us to get delivered, and we were allowing her to pray for them. And so many things were just happening. It was just phenomenal, and she was just discerning the spirits, and something would come up, and she'd pull me aside and bring me to the other room. She goes, I don't know what to do with this one. And so she was being mentored. But she would see the demon because we would see the demon in that person. And we'd share with her, go ahead, cast it out, call it by its name and get it out of here. And she'd just go do it and that demon, boom, and the person would go, boom. This was all happening. We had a house next to our house and we just were using it for praise and worship and deliverance. And she was trying to satisfy her parents and she just was really confused. So her parents convinced her to go to the school. Convinced her. So the first day of college, she came home. She came to our house weeping and crying. She kept saying, this isn't God's will. And I want to please my parents. And we kept sharing with her, listen, we're behind you. We're behind you. We know it's not God's will. She said, they didn't talk about God. It's so demonic there, this, that, and whatever. And we kept sharing with her, you got to come out of there. Anyway, she didn't take counsel. We didn't see her for about 2 or 3 years, and we got a call that she tried to commit suicide more than once. Let me tell you something. Now, fulfilling the destiny that God has prepared for you is terrible. When we went to go see her, she said everything that happened was nothing but false. The devil had stolen everything, including her salvation. Stole everything. Everything that she, the devil convinced her that casting out devils was just her imagination. But people that got free knew it wasn't her imagination. Totally convinced her. Come to find out, she got into all kinds of other things. Terrible things. And more than once, we found out that she'd ended up in the hospital and we'd go see her. Try to convince her to come back home, and she didn't want to. Try to overdose again, and so forth. I don't know where she is now. But I can only share with you, to not walk in God's destiny is a terrible place. It opens the door to the devil. You lose the protection of the Lord and everything else. She locked up her destiny, but by cooperating with God, it was being unlocked. Amen? I share that story with you because the importance where people don't really realize what happens in our life. And we wonder why things are happening. Because most of the time we lock up our destiny by locking the hands of God and not even realizing it. Amen? In Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26, then God said, let us make man in our image and like, and according to our likeness, let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air and over the cattle, over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female. Then God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. Now there's something important about this. And God said, see, I have what? Given you every herb that yields seed, which is on the face of the earth, and every tree whose fruit yields seed, to you it shall be for food. Also to every beast of the earth, to every bird of the air, and everything that creeps on the earth, in which there is life, I have given every green herb for food, and it was so. So God not only supplies, let me tell you, in God's destiny, by walking in God's destiny, he supplies everything for you. Everything. What happens is when people get out of God's destiny, they begin to try to supply themselves. Things are difficult. Hello. In God's destiny is dominion, blessings, fruitfulness, and multiplication. Would you repeat that with me? Dominion, blessing, fruitfulness, and multiplication. While you're walking in God's destiny, these things are going to begin to happen. What is destiny? Destiny. It's pretty powerful. Something a person is ordained to become. Number one, your destiny is something a person is ordained to become. The second thing, your destiny is associated with a place or destination. Come on, write it down. You got to know it. Number one, something a person is ordained to become. Number two, is it associated with a place or destination? This is your destiny. What is destiny? Number three, is a place of acceptance and peace. Number one, just interpret that and write it down, okay? Something a person is ordained to become. Number two, it is associated with a place or destination. Number three, it is a place of acceptance and peace. Number four, it is predetermined course of events brought by God. Predetermined course of events brought by God that is associated with His perfect time. Oh. Predetermined course of events brought by God that is associated with His perfect time. Everybody got it? If you didn't, get the tape, okay? Destiny is not fate. Fate is something that happens to us. Destiny is something that compels us. Fate is something that happens to us. And destiny is something that compels us. Destiny is not luck. Luck comes from the word Lucifer. Destiny is blessing, not curse. If you want to see the perfect destiny, study Christ. Studying the life of Christ will bring understanding of your destiny. Amen? Jesus was the perfect one who fulfilled the destiny. It was predestined. He unlocked His destiny, didn't He? Amen, by being obedient. Go to Revelation chapter 1. Oh, hallelujah. Revelation chapter 1. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Revelation 1 and verse 5 and 6. Would you read it with me? Revelation 1, 5 and 6. And from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth, to Him who loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood, and has made us what? Kings and priests to His God and Father, to Him be glory and dominion forever and ever. So you've been predestined to become a king and priest. Amen. That's one who ministers to the Lord as a priest, and a king as a warrior. In other words, one of the things that God wants to do in this destiny that He's prepared for you in unlocking your destiny is a place where you are living the life according to the kingdom of God. You're living a life kingdom. No longer your life, but living according to the kingdom of God. Predestined. That's why the Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 6, 17 and 18, come out from among them and be separate. You know? Why? Because it's a life of the royal kingdom. That's your destiny. You are royal priesthoods. But there's a place of unlocking your destiny that is so important. But if we don't understand, listen, and it doesn't matter always. In other words, it's a predestined, predetermined course of life that God has predestined for you. Now, you know, as you are obedient and cooperate with these things, certain things change, don't they? I was not predestined to become a drug addict and alcoholic, nor a fornicator and everything. God did not predestine me for that plan. I had locked His destiny, His plan for me, of my destiny. I locked it by being disobedient, and what was released was the destiny for me for darkness instead of light. Now, I was fulfilling the destiny that the devil had planned for me. See, he's got a predestined plan for you too. He's got it all planned out. He can't go too far, though, because he's not omnipresent. Omnipresent means past, present, and future. Doesn't mean that he's just all over the earth, because the devil is all over the earth. His kingdom is all over the earth. Amen? Hallelujah. But omnipresent means past, present, and future. Where Jesus is past, present, and future, the devil isn't. He only lives in the now. but He's present everywhere. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. We're to come out from among them. Come out from the world. Come out. What does that do? It unlocks your destiny. Well, He says, don't touch anything unclean and I will receive you as my son and daughter. It unlocks your destiny. Everybody with me? Oh, hallelujah. Go to Matthew 28. Is everybody all right? Praise be to God. Matthew 28. Verse 18. Would you read it with me? And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. So what was He doing? He said, listen, go make disciples. Teach them. Why? By teaching them would unlock their destiny. Is everybody with me? By teaching others would unlock their destiny. He says, man, I've given you all authority. I gave it to you. Go, therefore, and make disciples of Christ. Why? See, you make a disciple of Christ by becoming a disciple. So you're actually fulfilling your destiny, no matter whether it's in your workplace or anywhere else, by people seeing you and seeing how you act, of course, instead of react to the old man, but act according to the new man, you're actually making disciples. Why? Because they're looking at you and wanting to know what's what. Amen? So a part of your destiny, of course, it says is to make disciples. Eventually, you'll be doing Bible studies and homes and teaching and being part of a ministry, because part of your destiny is to be plugged in to a fellowship. If you're not plugged into a fellowship, then you are locking your destiny. Because everybody's destiny is to be a part of the kingdom of God. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. And He says something powerful. He says, teach them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age, which is the age of grace, which is a representation of time. Time. Matthew 25. Oh, hallelujah. Matthew 25. Verse 14. For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. Come on, read it with me. And to one he gave 5 talents, and to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his own ability, and immediately he went on a journey. Then he who had received the 5 talents went and traded them and made another 5 talents. What was he doing? He was utilizing what he had. You know what he was doing? Fulfilling his destiny. And likewise, he who had received 2 had gained 2 more, and he who had received 1 went and dug it in the ground and hid his Lord's money. Well, what did happen to that one? We had 2 of them that were going and 1 that was lazy. 1 that wanted everybody else to do it for him. Hallelujah. And after a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. So he who had received the 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Here I've gained 5 more besides them. And he said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You are faithful over a few things. I'll make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. What was he doing? Fulfilling his destiny. He who also had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, you delivered me 2 talents. Look, I've gained 2 more. And the Lord said, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few. I'll make you ruler over many things. Enter in. Now, you notice the reward was the same, even though one had five and one had two. The thing was is that they were faithful with what they had been given so that the destiny could be fulfilled. See, other people, too many people are trying to fulfill somebody else's destiny instead of their own. When you try to fulfill somebody else's destiny, you lock yours. The only way that you can unlock your destiny is by fulfilling it. Being connected with the Spirit and in obedience and cooperation. That's unlocking your destiny. But you'll lock your destiny as soon as you try to fill somebody else's. You cannot. You have been predestined for a purpose. It's like everything is God is predestined. It's like a puzzle that's put in place. And you know, when that one piece doesn't fit, it's just not right. It's just not right. But when it fits, you know. And when it fits, you get stronger and stronger. Amen? Now, you know, like I said, people's destinies have been sidetracked. They've done some things that got them into trouble. Some people got married out of God's time. Some people got purchased things out of God's time and all kinds of other things that has interfered with their destiny. Amen. People gotten in drugs and alcohol and all kinds of worldly things and so forth, and it interfered with their destiny. Their destinies got locked up. But God, being so faithful and compassionate, waited for us to finally cry out to say, help. In other words, when you cried out for help, you said, listen, I want to fulfill that destiny that you have pre-planned for me. Amen. That's where the word is fulfilled, that all things work to the good to those who love the Lord and are called according to His purpose. Right? Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. In verse 24, then one who had received one talent said, Lord, I buried it. Lord, I knew that you were a hard man. Well, who told him that? Reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid. Fear will always move you out of your destiny. Always. You know, your destiny is not a place of comfort. If you're comfortable, you better be careful. Content and comfort are two different things. You are comforted by the Holy Spirit and you are content in your position. Because positioning is everything in God's destiny. Amen? I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours. But his Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and boneheaded servant. You knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers. And at my coming, I would have received back my own with interest. Therefore, take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and to him who has abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be what? Taken away. And cast it unprofitable servants into the outer darkness, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Outer darkness is a place of not fulfilling your destiny. It's a place of darkness. Amen. Why? Because you're not fulfilling the destiny predestined by the devil instead of the destiny predestined by the Lord. I want to tell you again that touching those things and going in those arenas will lock your destiny. Disobedience will always lock your destiny. It's not that you're not going to make mistakes. Amen? It's that you're going to repent quickly and get back into line, which will fulfill your destiny. Go to Genesis 1:1. So your destiny is to be an example of a good steward, an honest steward, and a holy life. Oh, hallelujah. We had a powerful discussion yesterday morning in our Saturday morning meeting. And one of the things that God was talking about was time. And I can't repeat what happened yesterday because there's a time change. Hallelujah. In Genesis 1:1, would you read it with me? In the beginning, God created heavens and the earth. What he's saying here is the first thing that was created was what? Time. The word beginning means time. And where there's a beginning, there's an end. So the first thing that God created was time. See, because in eternity, there is no time. So he took a chunk out of eternity and wrapped it with time. Is everybody with me? Oh, hallelujah. So the first thing that God created before he created the heavenly hosts, before he created anything, he created time. That's why everything is associated with time. His creation is associated with time. Everything is associated with time. Is everybody with me? God created time, right? Time is connected to your destiny. You must understand God's time or you will not fulfill destiny. By being obedient to God's time, it will unlock your destiny. Two things that must happen. You must understand God's timing, and you must learn to wait on God. Without those two things, you will not be able to fulfill your predestined destiny. If you cannot discern God's timing and you cannot wait on God, you will not be able to fulfill the destiny that God has predestined for you. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. Go to Luke 19. Luke 19. You know, we all want it now, don't we? Drive-through experiences. And come on, just lay hands on me and pray for me, and that ought to do it. I'd like that to happen every time. And that sometimes it does. But sometimes it just doesn't. So you got to press it. In Luke 19, 43. Would you read it with me? Luke 19, 43. For the days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment around you, surround you, and close you in on every side. Ouch. And level you and your children within you to the ground. And they will not leave you, they will not leave in you one stone upon another because you did not know the time of your visitation. Does everybody understand that? Why? God always makes a way of escape, doesn't he? By missing God's time, because they did not understand God's time of visitation, destruction came to them. The enemy is out to steal, kill, and destroy. He knows that if you're walking in God's perfect time and understanding God's time and able to wait upon God, he knows that he can't touch you. Does everybody understand it? He knows he can't touch you. Why? Because you are divinely protected. Because you are fulfilling your destiny. By fulfilling your destiny, you are manifesting the will of God. By fulfilling your destiny, you are manifesting the will of God. I want to again tell you that fulfilling your destiny is not always a feeling of comfort. But there is a sense of peace. Amen. Go to Acts 17. Hallelujah. Acts 17. verse 22. Acts 17 and verse 22. Would you read it with me? Then Paul stood in the midst of Areopagus and said, "Men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are very religious. For as I was passing through and considering the objects of your worship, I even found an altar with this inscription, 'To the unknown God.' Therefore, the one whom you worship without knowing him, I proclaim to you. God who made the world and everything in it, since he is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands. Nor does he worship with men's hands as though he needed anything, since he gives to all life, breath, and all things. And he has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on the face of the earth, and has determined their pre-appointed times and the boundaries of their dwellings, so that they should seek the Lord and grope and hope that they might grope for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as also some of your own poets have said, 'For we are also his offspring.' Therefore, since we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the divine nature is like gold or silver or stone, something shaped by art and man's devising. Truly, these times of ignorance God has overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent, because he has appointed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he has ordained," or what, predestined. "He has given assurance of this to all by raising him from the dead." And he talks about something very important. I want you to understand that God's timing is associated with your divine nature. Because if you're not in God's time, the divine nature will not be manifested in you. Also, divine timing is associated with your destiny. All of these have been predestined for you so that the divine nature can be manifest, so that the will of God can be manifest. In other words, God uses you like a net. Amen. He uses you like a net to bring in a harvest. But you must be in the right place at the right time. You know, I speak to many individuals who've been in prison. One of the excuses I always hear, "Well, I was there at the wrong time in the wrong place. That's why I did what I did." You were there at the wrong time in the wrong place, huh? Right. No, you were just associating with the powers of darkness. You locked God's destiny for your plan, and you ended up here because you thought you got away with all the other things that man didn't see, but God saw them, so you're just fulfilling what you're reaping. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Pre-appointed times and seasons. Seasons, I want to share with you, are cycles. Preset. Seasons are cycles that are preset as time events. Certain events. These are predestined. These are cycles. Like a season is something that constantly repeats itself, isn't it? Even in a harvest, there's cycles. These are preset times. A season are cycles of preset times. Time itself is preordained visitations and revelations that God has appointed to direct us. Is everybody with me? Time itself is a preordained visitation. Why? Who created time? God. So it's a preordained visitation and revelation that God has appointed to direct you into your destiny, which allows us to walk in divine nature that manifests his will. I'll repeat this again, okay? Time itself is a preordained visitation and revelation. That God has appointed to direct us into our destiny. That allows us to walk in divine nature that manifests His will. What a long sentence, huh? Pulling these things out of the Spirit isn't easy, you know, I'm trying to put it on paper. Anybody know how to write interpretation of tongues? Time itself is preordained, is preordained visitations and revelations that God has appointed to direct us into our destiny that allows us to walk in divine nature that manifests His will. That's what time is. Preordained visitations and revelations. Oh, hallelujah. Two things that we need to know, right, to unlock the destiny for your life is understanding God's timing and waiting on God. Without those two things, you will not unlock your destiny, but you will lock it. Go to Psalm 40. Yeah! Psalm 40. How many of y'all want to unlock your destiny? Praise God. So you think you're here today to unlock your destiny? Oh man, y'all be excited then. Praise God. Come out from among them and unlock your destiny. Psalm 40, verse 1. Would you read it with me? I what? I waited. How did you wait? Oh, you waited patiently, did you? Come on, you weren't kicking and screaming, jumping up and down, going, I want, I want, I want, I want, I want. I need, I need, I need, I need it. Come on, Lord, you know I need this. You begin to beg God, bargain with Him, and even try to bribe Him. Hallelujah. I waited patiently for the Lord. The word patient means endure. You ever been at a bus stop? Waiting out there for the bus to come? And next thing you know, it's raining and pouring and snowing. You been in those areas? Ooh. And the bus is now late. And the devil's trying to convince you, go home. But there's something you're supposed to be doing. You've got to be at work. You've got to be at school, whatever it is. Of course, for me, on those school days, I just listen to the devil. If it's two drops of rain, I'm out of here. They'd be calling my house, your son's not in school again today. Where is he? Hallelujah. You get home, how was school? That wasn't bad. Of course it wasn't bad. I wasn't in it. Hallelujah. Yeah, you're out there at the bus stop waiting for that bus to come. And the weather's coming and all kinds of stuff is happening. Man, I just got to get it. Now, you know what? See, what's happening is all the earthly things are beginning to affect your decision. The wind is a-blowing. And the devil's telling you, man, come on. You don't have to wait any longer. Why don't you just find another way? Find another way. But you know you got to get on that bus because you're supposed to meet someone. It's a part of your destiny. This is how the devil operates. And the bus is a few minutes late. That's how God operates. He brings you right to the edge. He wants to know who you're going to trust. Him or you. And the next thing you know, you say, ah, I'm going to find another way. So you start hitchhiking, you move away from the bus. from the bus stop, and you're out there hitchhiking, and nobody's picking you up, and you're getting soaked, and you're freezing out there, and whatever, and the bus drives by. Oh, man, why didn't I wait? Hello. Think about how many times we've missed the bus. And everybody is singing and praising God on the bus, and you're over there miserable still trying to hitchhike. That's a part how it is with your destiny. Amen? You've got to wait on the Lord. The word patient means endure. No matter what, you can't be moved. You can't be moved by your emotions. You can't be moved by money. You can't be moved by circumstances. And you can't be moved by people. You must stand firm and strong. No matter what. Your decisions are not to be made according to those arenas of emotion. Your decisions are to be made according to the will of God that's fulfilling your destiny. Believe me, He puts you in places. Pre-appointed times and seasons. Amen. I waited patiently. You know, patience is a fruit of the Spirit. Yeah, bud. Yeah, right. I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined to me and what? Heard my cry. He also brought me up out of a horrible pit and out of the miry clay and set my feet upon a rock and established my steps. He has put a new song in my mouth, praise to our God. Many will see it in fear and will trust in the Lord. Blessed is that man who makes the Lord his trust and who does not respect the proud nor such as turn aside to lies. Wow. It's trusting in the Lord, isn't it? See, if you can't wait on God, you can't trust Him. Waiting on the Lord takes endurance. It takes denial of yourself. Two things you must learn to fulfill your destiny. You must understand God's timing. You must be able to wait on the Lord. Hello. Is everybody with me? Waiting on God is making time for God. Come on, say that. Waiting on God is making time for God. Oh. Well, you're a co-creator, aren't you? Amen. So you're making, while you're waiting, you're making time for God. Why are you making time for God? You're allowing Him to maneuver people, places, and things into position to fulfill your destiny. Does everybody understand that? See, while you're waiting on God, you're making time for God, right? What you're doing is you're allowing Him to maneuver people, places, and things into position to fulfill your destiny. See, that's why when people move ahead of God, it messes everything up. Of course, patience is endurance, right? And waiting on God is a place where we lose control but gain discipline. Write it. Waiting on God is a place where we what? Lose control but gain what? Discipline. Why? Because if you don't have discipline, you will not be able to fulfill your destiny. If you are not disciplined, you cannot fulfill your destiny. Because you'll want to move at every move. Well, it just doesn't feel right. Well, it just doesn't look right. But see, you know in your knower that it's a part of fulfilling your destiny. You are here today because God, while you're waiting on God, He's maneuvering people, places, and things right now in position for you to fulfill your destiny. See, because he's so omnipresent and he knows all things, while you're getting this impartation today, he's already moving on your behalf. Has everybody got it? He's already, right now, this moment, right now, this instant, because he's the daddy of daddy now. He's my daddy now. He's maneuvering people, places, and things in position for you to fulfill your destiny. See, so why he's teaching you and he's preparing you for the next step. See, so when you begin to walk and you know that that's a part of your destiny, then you stop and you begin to wait again because you're learning God's timing, amen, and how to wait. You're understanding God's timing and how to wait. Timing is movement. Does everybody understand it? Time is movement. We're in time right now, aren't we? Waiting is waiting on time. Waiting is what? Making time for God. So when you're waiting, you're actually almost not, I want to say stopping time, but you're holding time, but you're making time. You know, sometimes when you're waiting, you're actually catching up on time. Everybody with me? How many times have you waited on God? The next thing you know, the devil's trying to get you to go fix all the stuff from your past. And God's working on it. But you haven't given him an opportunity to. Remember, waiting on God is making time for him to what? Maneuver people, places, and things into position for you to fulfill your destiny. Now, and for fulfilling your destiny in this, he's fixing your past, ministering to you in the present, and preparing your future, which is your destiny. Destiny is a place of movement. It's associated with time. Time is movement. Even while you're waiting on God, right? While you're waiting on God, it may seem to you that time is standing still. But actually now God has given you an opportunity to make time for him because he's created time for you. Hello? Oh, hallelujah. Is everybody getting this? That's good. Let me know how it goes. Praise God. Psalm 37. Psalm 37. So while you're waiting on God and the devil's telling you, I got to do. Remember, you're making time for God to maneuver people, place, and things in position to fulfill your destiny. Now, what does a waiter do? Hello, praise God. So you're not going to just sit there, twiddle your thumbs. You're going to continue to go to work. Amen. You're going to continue to do the things, but you're waiting on God. Amen. It doesn't mean you just stop and sit home and watch TV all day. You know, you wait on God. Oh, hallelujah. In verse 37, Psalm 37, where am I going here? Psalm 37, in verse 7, I believe. Well, let's start a little bit. Hold on a second here. Hold on. Let's start at verse 3, man. What is this? Praise God. Let's start at verse 1. I mean, let's just get it in there. Is everybody all right? Come on, read it with me. Do not fret because of evildoers, nor be envious of workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Oh, hallelujah. What does it say now? Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. So while you're waiting, you're going to feed on his faithfulness. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. See, he's not going to give... While you're waiting on God, there's another heart exchange. Before you can continue on your destiny, your heart must change. You must get rid of your desires so the desires of the Lord can be imparted. Then you can start going on your destiny. Sometimes God, like, you know, it's like a boat that goes, then it goes to a dock and everybody unloads. Hello. Sometimes as you're moving in time, then God says, okay, now it's time to make time for me so I can maneuver people, places, and things to get in position for you, for your destiny. Now, while you're waiting on me, I want you to serve. While you're serving, I want you to begin to seek me so that I can change your heart, so they can fulfill the next part of your destiny. See, it's like a change of clothes. Amen? You're not going to go play football in a suit. Hello? You know, you're not going to go work on an automobile with nice clothes and so forth. You're not going to go scuba diving by just holding a rock. You're going to, right. That'd be a one-way ticket, right? Well, hopefully you'd let go, but praise God. Maybe it wasn't your destiny. Hallelujah. No, that's called fate. Remember, fate are things that happen. Destiny is something that's compelled. It's different. Hallelujah. Oh, praise God. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. So while you're waiting, there's going to be a heart exchange. There's going to be new desires. Did you ever notice something that man, you knew. You said, man, you know what? I know I'm supposed to do this. And you go do it. Right? Then the next thing you know, you're waiting. Well, but prior to that, you didn't realize that you were supposed to do that few months ago, because God had changed your heart. And there are certain things when God's beginning to prepare you for something, you'll get an unction that you're supposed to do something, but it won't be, there'll be an uncertainty. Do you know why? Because he's asking you to wait on him so that he can prepare everything ahead. Then you're going to get the unction to go now. And it's been prepared. Why? Because during that period of time of waiting, he's changing your heart to fulfill the next phase of your destiny. Is everybody with me? Oh, hallelujah. All right. Verse 5. Read it with me. Commit your way to the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday. What does it say? Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Listen, a place of waiting is a place of resting. If you're not trusting, you certainly can't rest. You'd be like a bug trying to bounce off every wall there is. Or a pinball in a pinball machine. You'll be in a place of, I gotta. I wanna. In a place of fear. Fear nullifies everything of trust. Amen. You must come into a place of rest. Learning to trust is a character of your destiny. Say it with me. Learning to trust is a character of my destiny. While waiting and resting, you're serving and learning. Amen. Praise God. Verse 7. Rest in the Lord and what? Wait patiently for him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret, it only causes harm. Oh, hallelujah. I'll go to James 1. Is everybody all right? Unlocking your destiny takes two important factors in your life. Understanding God's timing and waiting on the Lord. Of course, the third factor is dying. But that's in everything. Amen? Dying. And we say, I love to wait on the Lord. And then repent. Lord, forgive me. Nobody loves to wait on the Lord. Everybody wants it now. But that's according to the flesh. Thank God we have dominion over, so now we can love the weight on the Lord. Let me tell you, I've learned to love the weight on the Lord. Really. Why? Because every time I didn't, I struggled. And the Bible says He causes you to lie down. Hello? You know why? Because you ain't listening. Lie down. Now, wait on me. Now, just wait right here, okay? It's like somebody's trying to get you something, to do something for you, and you're not listening. Somebody who loves you so intently, overwhelming love for you, but we're so busy. And he said, would you just wait right here? Wait right here. I'll be right back. Right here. Don't move! Wait right here. And I try to tell that to my daughter. Wait right there. Don't move. Okay, Dad. She's gone. Where'd you go? Well, this or that or whatever. Man, I told you to wait right here. Can't you just sit right here? You know, we have humanoids. We have a hard time waiting on God. We want what we want. And we want it now. Oh, James 1. Is everybody there? Is it warm in here? Somebody turn off the AC? Whew. Praise God. Either that or the fire is cooking. Flesh burning. You're making a sweet aroma to the Lord and killing your neighbor. James chapter 1. Oh, hallelujah. I know I have them in my Bible. There we are. And verse 2. Would you read it with me? My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience and endurance. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. So your patience and your endurance, right, as you're waiting on God, it's actually perfecting you so that you don't lack anything. See, God is going to give you everything you need. Let me tell you, you know when God moves? When you're in the valley. It doesn't feel like He's moving is when He's moving. When He's moving and you feel like He's moving, He's comforting you. But when He's not, when you don't feel He's moving is when He's warring. That's when He's really moving on your behalf. What's He trying to do? He's trying to tell you, wait right here so I can get things in position. Didn't He tell us, listen, I'm going where I'm going. You don't know where I'm going. He told His disciples. But then He tells us, I'm going to come back for you. Well, He doesn't lie. Amen. He doesn't lie. What's He doing? He's just trying to get you in position. He wants to unlock your destiny, but you must cooperate with unlocking your destiny. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. But let patience have its what? Perfect work, that you may be perfect, complete, and what? Lacking nothing. See, when you are walking in your destiny, you are lacking nothing. Oh, hallelujah. Hebrews 10. Praise God. Hebrews 10. Everybody okay? Come on, eat it up. Eat it up. Glory. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse something here. Let's see. Oh, yeah. Oh, hallelujah. And verse 36, would you read it with me? For you have need of endurance, which is patience, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and will not tarry. Now the just live by faith, but if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who draw back to perdition, but those who believe to the saving of the soul. That's why the Bible says, be anxious for nothing, right? In all things, prayer and supplication, make your requests known to God. And the peace of God will guide you. Amen. And will protect your heart. See, you know when you're out of God's time. I hope. There is a time to wait. Did you ever get something and you know it's God and you're all excited about it? And you try to maneuver it, but it just ain't happening. Then the devil tells you, well, it wasn't God, but it was God. The problem is you got in it and God got out. Amen? Why? Because everything in your destiny, in unlocking and fulfilling your destiny, must involve around two things. Understanding God's timing. And what else? Waiting on God. Amen? Waiting on God also is a representation of no matter what's going on, you're willing to let it go. You know, we get many people that come from jail or whatever in the discipleship house, and the first thing that they're requesting and desiring is they get their clothes. I need my clothes. I think we need that big scripture that talks about Elijah and Elijah. Remember when he went and threw his mantle on him? And he says, hold on a second, let me go say goodbye to everybody. And Elijah said, what have I done to you? Elisha got it. Okay. And he was out there plowing. You know what he did? He took the plow, broke it all up, made a fire, and cooked the bulls as a sacrifice. He said, I got it. And he was gone, found Elijah. Too many times the things of the world will move people out of their destiny. I've seen people want to go back and get their clothes and all this other stuff, which was a place of demonic forces. One of the things in fulfilling your destiny is you can no longer look back. Amen? Don't look back and don't try and fix it. Go forward. God will fix it all and bring it up to you if it's God. If it's not God, He'll let it continue to go. See, while you're waiting on God again, He's fixing everything. Listen, don't hope in reconciliation with relationships. Don't hope in getting the job back. Don't hope in anything. Your hope must be in the Lord. If your hope is not in the Lord, you're in the wrong destiny. You know what you're trying to do? Fulfill somebody else's destiny. Amen? Oh, this is so important. I see too many of God's children get off course. You know what happens? They get a job that brings them good money. And, oh, this is a blessing from the Lord. All right. Yes, thank you, Lord. This is great. Hallelujah. Next thing you know, they're no longer associated in fellowship. And they get around, you can smell they've been huffing again. Or they've been drinking. Or something to that degree. You know, they've been touching unclean things. And the devil's moved them right out of their destiny. Thinking that they're actually doing the will of God and God is blessing them. Because they got this wonderful job. And all things are just, wow, I've never been able to pay my bills before. I mean, they're just so overwhelmed that they can pay a bill, but they forgot to pay God's. They're so grateful for getting this job, but they forgot to pay God's bill. It's called tithing and offerings. That's how you pay God's bill, and He pays yours. Oh, I see it happen all the time. That's why this message is going out today. Let it be imparted in with you. You will either unlock or lock your destiny. It's up to you. I want to close in some. Isaiah 40. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Isaiah 40. Is everybody okay? Are you getting it? I'm glad. next time, God, you know you're waiting on God. Just let him cook you a little bit. He wants you well done. Not medium rare and not raw. He wants you well done. Amen? If you're rare, you're flesh. Well done is spirit. That means complete and perfect. Praise God. Oh, praise God. Let's see. Were we at Isaiah 40? Oh, nice one. Thank you, Master. Okay, let's start at verse 28. Would you read it with me together? Have you not known, have you not heard, the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles, and they shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Hallelujah. Lord, we thank you for your word. We are honored and blessed. We ask, Master, that you continue to keep us positioned that will maintain unlocking our destiny. Unlocking our destiny. Amen. Lord, again, we repent for locking our destiny in every way of disobedience and any other way that we have interfered with your predestined plan for us. Lord, teach us to understand your timing. And teach us to wait on you and give us the strength while we're waiting. We ask that you continue to refresh us and establish us for your glory. Father, I lift you, everyone in this room, everybody lift your hands. Lord, I pray the blessing of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob over them. Lord, I ask you to continue to empower them and fill them. Keep their eyes open unto you, their ears ready to hear, and their hearts ready to move. Lord, grant them the revelation of time and waiting. Bring healing to their bodies. Restore. And we command the devil to return everything that has been stolen according to your will now, Master. Open the doors that are of you in their life and shut the doors that are not. And bring that refreshing and fire from your throne room that they may be about your business, manifesting your will as they wait on you. In Jesus' name.